So I was struck, so often we have this dilemma in our modern society and modern Christian circles at times that we are left to ourselves, and it's just between me and God to figure things out. I've got nobody else, no other point of reference, I got to do it all by myself. And it's just kind of tragic because it was never that way. I won't focus on Moses entirely, as kind of the first reading was more about him, but when Moses died, were the people of Israel left to themselves to figure things out? Not a bit. There was already something set up for them to follow. Joshua, son of Nun, filled with the spirit of wisdom, since Moses had laid his hands upon him. What gesture does that look like? Y'all haven't seen it. Ordination, holy orders. But yeah, when you have orders, it's still there. Like the spoil of the Old Testament. Little Easter egg hidden of things to come. And there goes Walker. Okay, so we were not left to ourselves. Not in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament. Why would we ever think that God would suddenly change his methodology and let us figure it out on our own? It was never that way. What is the church? And this is the gospel just emphasizes the church, the church, the church. You hear it over and over again, the church. Think about this. This gospel was written pre-180, maybe as early as 40, 50, 60 AD. And Jesus says, or Matthew has Jesus say, because Matthew is aware of the situation of his time when he's writing, when the two of you don't agree on the witnesses or whatever, if he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. There was already a church for Matthew. There was already a structured like place to go, people to talk with, authority to be handed out, exercised. If he refuses to listen even to the church, Matthew says, Matthew the apostle, who is the church, who had the authority given to him by Jesus, whatever you bind on earth, whatever you bind on earth, shall be bound in heaven. And then Matthew says, treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector, which at the time this was being written, is not a good way to treat people. You're just kind of like stiff arm. I can't associate with you. You don't listen to the church. You don't follow our way. Because you can't follow Christ without following his church. That's very uncomfortable for us in our libertarian kind of like, I want to do it my way. I want to be independent. We don't like the idea of obedience. But you notice even in the Old Testament, the children of Israel gave Joshua their obedience as if to God because of the anointing he had received, the laying on of hands. And then it goes on, like Matthew doesn't stop there. It's almost like he continues to emphasize, like, wherever two or more are gathered there in my name. And we know it doesn't ever mean like just any random people with God's authority, but there was a structure. Matthew's writing this. So do we believe in the church? What does the church teach one of us? How do I handle it when I struggle to follow the way of the Lord? When I can't agree, when two believers disagree on what's the right way to follow Jesus, are they left to their own devices? Each one goes the way they want? Or didn't Jesus give us a point of reference? And what I'm struck with is that when St. Stephen of Hungary, he wasn't saint yet, he was the first king of Hungary, and he's writing to his son, the next king of Hungary, and he says, my dear son, if you would grace the kingly crown, I advise and counsel you above all things to preserve the Catholic apostolic faith with such care that you may be an example to all the subjects given you by God, and all the clergy can say that you are truly a Christian. Great advice from a dad to a son, right? But if you fail to do this, you may be certain that you cannot be called either a Christian or a son of the church. This is pre-1000, this is 900s AD. In the palace of the king, the church holds the next place after faith. The seeds of that church were sown by Christ. Afterwards, they were transplanted, firmly rooted, and propagated throughout the whole world by his members, that is, by the apostles and the holy fathers. And although the great tree is forever putting forth new shoots, in some places it is already ancient. In our kingdom of Hungary, the church is still a young and tender plant. For this reason, there's all the greater need for more prudent and evident watchfulness, so that the great gift bestowed by the divine mercy on us, that is the church, the great gift bestowed by divine mercy on us, unworthy though we may be, may not be destroyed were brought to nothing through your apathy, indolence, or neglect. So we continue to exhort these things amongst ourselves. We continue to deepen our faith in Christ, in the gifts of Christ, the tremendous blessing of divine mercy that is the church for us. May we not let it remain sterile in our midst through our own apathy or neglect, but rather may we believe in it firmly, trust in its ways, and bear witness to others that we are not left to ourselves. God is with us. They talk about the church as the sacrament, the living, visible sign of the invisible but ongoing salvation through Christ. May we believe in that sign, may we extend that sign in our own lives and our families, and may others see us and believe more firmly in God and the gifts He has given us. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.